I was living in Asheville, North Carolina a few years ago. I was on the staff at the cathedral, Episcopal Cathedral in Asheville, and I have a longstanding interest in Thomas Merton. And we had done an event on the 40th anniversary of Thomas Merton's death, and it was a lecture about why Thomas Merton still mattered to people. And my intention was that we would do it every year. And the third year we were going to do it, a friend of mine said, you know, people maybe have had enough sort of talking about Merton, and what if we approached it differently with music? Mm-hmm. And I was intrigued by that idea. And the person who was mentioned this to me knew about Dick Sisto and knew about his music in Louisville, and that he had done an evening of Coltrane and Merton. Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated with that. And so called Dick out of the blue, and we had an initial conversation, and at first we thought, well, it might not work out. And I was on vacation in Wisconsin, and Dick called me back and said, I think we can do this. And so a couple years ago, we first worked together, brought a group of Dicks over to Asheville, and had a phenomenal evening. I think one of my favorite evenings ever as a parish priest was mm-hmm. to gather folks around jazz and around Merton, and to have Dick make those connections of Coltrane and Merton and Dick's personal life. Mm-hmm. And so when I had a chance to come to Lexington, Kentucky, I knew one of the first things I wanted to do at Good Shepherd was to bring Dick Sisto to Good Shepherd. And I love what Dick represents in his music and his spirit. And the people of Good Shepherd are committed to good music, both good sacred music, but I think just being a place that celebrates the arts. And mm-hmm. so here was a chance to introduce Dick to an audience in Lexington.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about what you see was important with Thomas Merton, how that really resonated in your mind with the people that were in your parish.
Well, I grew up in the Southern Baptist tradition, and I always say that the shortcut, a part of my biography, is Thomas Merton made me an Episcopalian. I was a seminarian at the Baptist Seminary in Louisville 20-some-odd years ago, and had a professor there named Glenn Henson, who had known Thomas Merton in the 1960s. And I was this young, eager, earnest Baptist seminarian who had never heard of Merton, had really never heard of contemplation or contemplative life. But we took a trip out to Gethsemane, and this was, of course, years after Merton had died. And my first experience there, I really had an epiphany, and sort of my mind and heart sort of woke up to just how significant silence and centering prayer is as a discipline. And then for me, Thomas Merton was one of my first examples of a Christian writer whose both head and heart was wide open mm-hmm. and was not sort of wrestling with his intellect and the spirit, but really was a whole person. Mm-hmm. And deeply faithful to his tradition, yet also open to all traditions, and to find wisdom where you find wisdom. And so he was, for me, a first icon into that kind of life. And so I think Thomas Merton continues, even though he's now been dead almost 45 years, he continues to be, I think, an important bridge for a lot of folk to realize that the Christian life doesn't have to be a closed-off life or a life of fundamentalism. It's really to say, it's an open life. And I think Merton continues to speak to young people. I met a guy the other night in a bar in Lexington who, our waiter, who's had a Merton tattoo on his body.
No kidding.
And so here's a young person maybe who's closed off to the church but not closed off to Thomas Merton. And so I think Merton is an important interpreter for us in this time. And again, Merton appreciated jazz. And I have a growing appreciation for jazz because I think so much of what we do in a life of faith is improv. Mm-hmm. It's all improv. And I think jazz helps us, you know, learn how to both encounter a tradition and yet be open to that next place it's going to take us.
Thank you. Brian Cole, rector of the Church of the Good Shepherd in Lexington, and some of the sacred music of John Coltrane as performed by vibraphonist Dick Sisto. We'll hear more about the sacred side of John Coltrane from Dick Sisto next week on Arts Weekly Here and Now.